the basics of life. Welcome to the Basics of Life, the radio teaching ministry of Calvary Chapel in Vista, California, with Pastor Rob Salvato. In the world today, there are many Bibles. It has been the bestseller for many years and widely translated into many languages. What is surprising is the amount of biblical illiteracy that one finds in the world today, given the availability of the Bible to so many people. We hear things like, God helps those who help themselves, or follow your heart. Actually, the teaching of the Bible is just the opposite of these statements. Join us today in Colossians chapter 3, verses 14 through 17, for a message from the Lord on how to maximize your potential, following the clear teachings of Scripture, as we get back to the basics of life.
We need to get back to the basics of life.
Again, we have this action phrase that speaks of choice. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. That's a choice. You see, all of us here, we're going to allow things to dwell in our lives. We're going to allow things to richly dwell in our lives. Paul is encouraging, Paul is advocating, let the word of Christ, let God's word dwell in your life richly. The word richly, it speaks of abundantly. It speaks of extravagantly. The word extravagant, it means the quality of exceeding appropriate limits. The quality of exceeding appropriate limits. The word dwell means to be at home. So there's 100 areas where we should not exceed the appropriate limits in life. There's hundreds of areas where we don't want to do that. But listen, allowing the Word of God to dwell, to be hidden in our hearts, is not one of them. We need to be filled with as much of God's Word as we can possibly get. So how do we do that? How do we allow the Word of Christ to dwell in us richly? I want to suggest to you three ways. Number one is by hearing it. By hearing it. In Romans chapter 10, verse 17, it says, so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And so as faith comes by hearing, faith also grows by hearing. Your faith grows in the Lord as you hear the word of God being taught. In Revelation chapters 2 and 3, Jesus used this phrase over and over again in speaking to the church. He says, he who has ears, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Now, it wasn't like there were some earless people in the congregation. No, that's not his point. He's not saying, okay, everybody who has ears, those of you who, you know, don't read my lips, but those of you who have ears, no, he's making a statement here. Listen, to listen. Open up your heart to hear what God might say. Hearing the word taught is a way to allow God's word to dwell in you richly. Putting yourself in that position to hear the word, being here like you are today on Sunday mornings, being here on Wednesday nights, putting yourself in that place where you're hearing the word of God. Listen, guys, men, husbands, you and I have been commissioned by the Lord to wash our wives in the word in Ephesians chapter 5. One of the simplest ways that you can do that, bring your wife to Bible study. Bring her to Bible study. And as you sit and you're taking in the word together, being taught the word of God, and then you go and you talk about it, that's one way to wash your wife in the word. And that's a way to hide God's word in your heart. But you know what? This is an area where the church is moving more and more. It's moving away from this in the American church. We, as a nation, have the most amount of churches, and yet we're becoming more and more biblically illiterate. Because churches are abandoning Bible study. They're abandoning times where to really get into the Word. Instead, what you have so often in churches today is what John Corson calls sermonettes for Christianettes. And, you know, little 15, 20-minute little raps. Little cool little teachings. Little, you know, insights or practical little things. And not really Bible study. I heard about a church this past week that canceled its midweek service of Bible study because people weren't coming. And instead, they replaced it on a weekly basis with dinner and dancing. And now they're packing it in. Now they're packing them in. And that's sad. There are churches today that emphasize the arts, dances and dramas. Others that emphasize music and worship. And others that are emphasizing community and fellowship. And I like all those things. I think all those things can have their place in a church body. But they can't. They shouldn't replace Bible study. They shouldn't replace our time in the Word. Guys, this is a staple. It's essential to our spiritual well-being. Studying the Word. It's the model that we see given to us in the book of Acts. There in Acts chapter 2, verse 42, we're told that the early church continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and in teaching and in breaking in bread and in prayer. Now, two of the things that they continued steadfastly in deal with hearing the Word of God. Doctrine, dealing with the theological aspects of what God's Word says, and teaching, the practical application of how to put that into practice in our lives. And they continued steadfastly in those things. Guys, that's our model. That's what we need to be about. And we can never get enough of God's Word. Hearing the Word. You know, we're blessed. We have K-Wave. So you can listen to Bible studies almost all day long. And I think even better than that, we have here at our church an awesome, right across the alleyway here, we have a tape-lending library that has the whole Bible on tape with teachers like John Corson and Pastor Chuck and Pastor Brian, Jack Hibbs. Studies that I've done. And if you're a commuter, you can go through the whole Bible in a short period of time, listening to a tape to work and a tape coming back from work. And that is a way to do what Paul is saying here, to let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly, hearing the Word taught. A second way that we can let the Word of God dwell in us richly is, number two, you handle it. 2 Timothy 2, verse 15, be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Study the Word and then use it is what that is talking about. It's learning to take what you have been given and give it away. This is the best way to learn. It's the best way to learn. It's the best way to grow is taking what you have heard and sharing it with someone else, sharing it in your family devotions. Sharing it with people you work with. Maybe starting a Bible study at your work. And you're just taking what you've been learning and you're sharing it with others. Teaching in children's ministry. For those of you guys who aspire to be in the ministry, I would encourage you in this. Pastor Chuck, he put it this way once. He said, you know, if you can learn to be effective in teaching the Word of God to third, fourth, and fifth graders, you can teach anybody. And he's right. And that's why I always encourage guys who feel like, you know, that calling is upon them, get involved in children's ministry and learn to teach in that simple type of way, handling the Word. That's another way to let it dwell in our hearts richly. Number three is to hide it. Psalm 119, verse 11 says, your Word I have hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. Memorizing Scripture is a key to letting the Word of Christ dwell in you richly. Now, Paul mentions two specific results of letting the Word of Christ dwell in us richly. The first is that it helps us to minister in wisdom. Wisdom is knowledge applied. And so, first of all, we have to bring in the knowledge. As we allow the Word of Christ to dwell in us richly, we're allowing His Word, the knowledge of His Word, to settle there in our hearts. And it allows us to minister in wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another, he says. Teaching is the impartation of truth. Admonishing is warning. And both are to be done in wisdom. Now that only occurs, that only happens, that only takes place as we allow God's Word to dwell in us richly. We bring in the knowledge and the Holy Spirit gives us the insight on how to apply it. That's wisdom. He provides the guidelines for the teaching and admonishing so that when it's happening, when it's being done in wisdom. You see, there's a lot of wisdom being espoused today that's not biblical. There's a saying, you've heard it, God helps those who help themselves. How many of you have heard that before? Now, I'm not going to ask for a show of hands, and I think most of you wouldn't fail this test, but if you were to ask the average person out on the street, hey, God helps those who help themselves, is that in the Bible? Most people would say, oh yeah, yeah, that's in the Bible. You know what? It's not. In fact, the Bible really says almost the exact opposite. The Bible says that God helps those who realize they can't help themselves. The Bible says that God is there to meet those who realize how spiritually bankrupt they are. He's there to meet and help. Blessed are the poor in spirit. That's, hey, I'm spiritually bankrupt, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. There's an example. That's God's heart. He's there to help the person who realizes, man, I'm lost. I need help. Like that hymn that we sang this morning, I need God. But so often people think, oh yeah, yeah, that's in the Bible. And they give out that wisdom. God helps those who help themselves. In Job chapter 4, Job's in the midst of all of his suffering. He's lost his family. And here comes one of his buddies to come and give some support. Eliphaz comes to him there in chapter 4. And basically what Eliphaz says is, you know what, Job? You must have done something wrong. You must have blown it in some way. You must have sinned because, and he makes this statement, God will not allow the innocent to suffer. Now we hear that and we think, yeah, yeah, that makes sense. You know, that sounds right. Is that right? Is that biblical? No. Eliphaz only had to look back to the book of Genesis to see that God, he allows innocent people to suffer. Abel was killed. He was completely innocent and yet he was killed by his brother Cain. And even more so, Jesus Christ, was he innocent? Absolutely. And yet God allowed him to suffer so that you and I could be blessed. Back in the 80s, there was this Christian band that I used to like, and they had really cool music, and they had a singer who, man, could just really, really sing. Had an amazing voice. And they had this one song that really had a real hook. I mean, it would have been a great radio type of song. But you know what? It was a song. The catchphrase, the hook, the chorus said this: listen to your heart. Listen to your heart. And it was a great song, musically arranged. But you know what? It wasn't biblical. It wasn't biblical. What does the Bible say about the heart? The Bible says that the heart is deceitfully wicked above all things. Who can know it? The Bible says in Matthew chapter 5, verse 19 and 20, for out of the heart proceed evil thoughts and murders and adulteries and fornications and thefts and false witness and blasphemies. These are the things that defile a man. We have a whole lot of problems in our society because there's people running around listening to their heart. And their heart is full of all of these things. They're listening to their emotions. They're being moved by their feelings. And it's leading them completely down the wrong road because they're listening to their heart instead of listening to the Word. So letting the Word of Christ richly dwell in your heart is a key to conducting yourself in wisdom. And it also produces in our hearts an attitude of worship. In verse 16, it tells us it generates psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Psalms were taken from the Old Testament book of songs and put to music. And they were sang. Hymns were expressions of praise to God that were also taken from Scripture. And they would take portions and just lay them out and put them into songs. And usually, just like the hymns of old, like the hymn that we, you know, heard today, that they were deeply theological in their nature. And then spiritual songs emphasized testimony. They were story type of songs, or the type of songs that sometimes our worship team will play on a Sunday morning for the offering, where it's kind of telling a story, it's telling a message. And so those are the aspects or the results of letting the Word of Christ dwell in you richly. You're going to minister in wisdom, and you're going to have an attitude of worship in your heart. And so that's attitude number two. Attitude number three is found in verse 17. And whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. The bottom line here is a commitment to bring Jesus into everything that we say and do, and beyond that, to do those things as unto him. Now, what this does is that in every area of your life, it turns it into a spiritual pursuit in which there are spiritual opportunities. And when that's the case, listen, nothing is humdrum any longer. Nothing is ordinary. Your job is no longer just your job now. Listen, it's an assignment from God. It's your assignment from God. It's a platform for God to be able to show his goodness. It's a platform for him to be able to show his heart. It's a platform for him to be able to show his creativity as he works through your life. Listen, some of you can impact more people in 1 month through your business context than many pastors can impact in an entire year. But to do that, you need to see your job or your business as something that you do as unto the Lord, and then perform in that occupation accordingly. Also, in our family life, in raising your kids. Raising your kids is not something that you are to do because you're a mom or dad, but it's something that you do because God has entrusted those children to you, and you are to raise them in a way that brings glory to God. You know, I often find myself, as it relates to my kids, thinking about, as I look at their gifts, as I look at their talents, what are my kids going to do for God? And Lord, what do I need to do in order to stir up the gifts that I see in Aaron, or the gifts that I see in Amy, or the gifts that I see in Amanda, to stir them up, as Paul said to Timothy, to stir up that gift that is inside of them so that they might impact you. Lord, what do I do? How do I do that? Putting effort into them, pouring resources into them, and doing that as unto the Lord. It makes a great difference. You see, something changes in your life when you do what you do because you are doing it as unto the Lord. I was talking to a mom once who took this verse and she applied it to the daily chores that she did, the duties that she did around the house. And so all of a sudden she went from, she was no longer cleaning her house for her husband or cleaning her house for her kids or even for herself, but for the Lord. And what used to be a mundane necessity became an expression of worship. Now think about this. Think about all the things that you do. Are they spiritual activities or are they just a grind? If they're just a grind, then you are missing out on what they could be. They could be spiritual pursuits that would lead to spiritual opportunities. And I want to encourage you today, don't divide your life into categories of the spiritual and the non-spiritual. We have a tendency to do that. The spiritual and the non-spiritual. Instead, do everything as unto the Lord. Do everything for the Lord. And watch how your perspective will change. Watch how the Lord will bless. Listen, there's one thing that you hear today. I want you to hear this. And it's this. This truth. That you exist for God. God doesn't exist for you. You exist for God. You exist to bring God glory. So often, though, we think God exists for us, that he exists to make me happy. He exists to bless me. He exists to provide. He exists to take care of my problems. And yes, God is interested in all of those things in our lives, but God does not exist for us. He was doing quite well without us for a long, long time. He doesn't exist for us, but listen, you and I, we exist for him. Our life, we are here on this planet so that our lives can be a platform through which God's glory can be seen, that his grace can shine. Our lives, we exist to bring him glory. remember that. And as you think about that, as you remember that, and then you go into the various things in your life, you do so with that type of perspective. Hey, I'm here to bring glory to God. And how much more would we impact our world if we looked at our lives in that way? Hey, I exist for the glory of God. The people who have lived with God's glory at the forefront of their minds are the people who have been the most effective in their lives for the Lord. And so attitude number three is doing everything for the Lord and unto His glory. Attitude number four, we are to have a thankful heart. This exhortation has been in every verse that we've looked at here in Colossians. In verse 15, we are told to let the peace of God rule in our hearts and be thankful. In verse 16, we're told to sing with grace or thanksgiving in our hearts to the Lord. And then in verse 17, we are to do all things in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. And there's no doubt that one of the top priorities for us as believers is that we would have a thankful heart. And here's why. Thankfulness puts our focus on what God is doing instead of what isn't happening in our lives. You see, the old man, the old woman has 20/20 vision when it comes to what isn't happening in our lives and what we think should be happening in our lives. God could be blessing us in 20 different areas, but the old man, the flesh, wants to focus on the two areas where it seems like nothing is happening and nothing is going on. And it wants to focus on that in the way of like taking a magnifying glass to it. And it wants to blow it up, that suddenly, you know, that little problem becomes this consuming mountain that just wants to take over our lives. But what thankfulness does is it lifts our eyes above that, and the focus is on what God is doing in our lives. And most of the time, what God is doing in our lives far outweighs the rest of the junk that is going on, or at least it puts that junk into perspective. That thankful heart turns the mountain into the molehill. And I would encourage you to go home today and maybe write down on one side of a piece of paper all the little problems and things that you're dealing with in your life. And then on the other side of that piece of paper, write down all the things that God has already done for you, the ways that He's blessing you, starting with your salvation and going all the way through to the present day, the present situation, what He's done for you in this last week. And write those things down. And then praise Him. And then thank Him. That thankful heart, it's cultivating an attitude of gratitude. Seeing how blessed we are and expressing that to the Lord. Thankfulness lifts our eyes up to see what is right and good. And then that expression of thankfulness connects us to the source of all that is right and all that is good. And that's really a cycle that you want to be in. It's where you want your heart to be. Praising the Lord in that way. A thankful heart. And so those are the attitudes that we are to have that will affect our actions in the body of Christ. Letting the peace of God umpire, letting it arbitrate, letting it lead us in our relationships, in our marriage, in our friendships, in our ministry, in our work, and then allowing the Word of God to settle in and be at home in our hearts in an abundant, extravagant kind of way. And then having a commitment to bring Jesus into every area of our lives by honoring Him in everything that we do and everything that we say. And then lastly, having a heart of gratitude and thanksgiving. Recognizing the goodness of God and expressing our thankfulness to Him. Listen, those are attitudes that will maximize who you are in Christ. Those are things. Those are attitudes that will affect your actions. That's an outlook that will affect the outcome of your life in every single one of those areas. In every single one of those places. And God will be glorified.
Well, that concludes today's study. Today's message number is 51-15. That's 51-15. We truly hope that today's message has ministered to you. If you'd like to order a copy of today's message in its entirety, call us at 1-800-536-0155. That's 1-800-536-0155 with today's message number. Or write us at The Basics of Life, 885 East Vista Way, Vista, California, 92084. And please remember to include the call letters of this radio station when you order. Thank you for joining us today. Until next time, may the Lord richly bless your life.